Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 181, Company Culture, How to Hire for a Cultural Fit. This episode is presented by 4imprint Incorporated Customer Service Manager, Brandon Manthe.
Company Culture, How to Hire for a Cultural Fit. About 30 years ago, companies began talking about workplace culture and how employees needed to be a good fit to be a success. The idea that prospective employees could be screened for more than technical capabilities began to take hold. Back then, companies did a good job of making their cultures known, and recruiting with a culture in mind earned a status as forward-thinking and progressive. Southwest Airlines is often hailed for its success in hiring candidates who fit the airline's culture. In Southwest's case, employees must be able to give guests a top-notch customer service experience with a large dose of fun. It is no secret that this formula has propelled the company to financial success. Today, as three generations work together, millennials, Gen Xers, and baby boomers, the need to ensure that, despite their differences, they are all working toward a company's core set of values is of utmost importance. We also know much more than we did decades ago about how cultural fit goes hand in hand with company success. This podcast will discuss how to hire people who fit your company culture and how to explain your company culture to prospective employees. This podcast will also outline how to develop a culture handbook to be used both by employees and as a recruitment tool. Why is cultural fit important? Before analyzing why it is important to find employees who fit your culture, we should first define company culture. Forbes contributor Erica Anderson describes corporate culture as patterns of accepted behavior and the beliefs and values that promote and reinforce them. Statistics clearly show why hiring for a good cultural fit is important. It's estimated that turnover due to poor fit costs an organization 50 to 60% of that person's annual salary. Employers who take cultural fit seriously may reap financial benefit from more than just employee retention. According to one study, college students said they would accept 7% less pay to work for a company that fit their values. Netflix is one of those companies that has benefited from hiring talent to fit its culture. Netflix's decision to hire people who put company interests first helped propel it to adopt non-traditional practices that heightened people's desire to work for the company. Patty McCord, Netflix's former chief talent officer, wrote, "Most companies spend endless time and money writing and enforcing HR policies to deal with problems the other 3% might cause. Instead, we tried really hard not to hire those people, and we let them go if it turned out we'd made a hiring mistake." Netflix points to its approach to hiring and culture as a reason for company success. Other business leaders took notice. McCord and some of her colleagues developed a shared online no-frills presentation on Netflix's company culture and hiring practices. More than 5 million people have viewed that presentation since it was released. Many times, employees themselves recognize poor cultural fit after being in a job. According to a 2013 Gallup poll, 70% of respondents said they disliked their current job and felt disengaged. Poor management and poor cultural fit topped the reasons employees cited for not feeling connected in the workplace. Obviously, employers want their team members to be happy. Happier employees make more productive workers. In fact, the authors of the book Tribal Leadership discovered just how much a good workplace culture influences employees. They found friction among employees goes down, resulting in less stress. Employee retention increases, meaning recruiting costs decrease. Employees tend to learn more from one another. And employee health improves, thereby reducing injuries and sick days. The desire to match employees with culture is high among employers, who say that they have put practices into place to increase the chance they hire the right team members. A 2013 Cubic survey of employers found 82% believe cultural fit is important, 59% have rejected applicants due to poor cultural fit, and 32% have an objective way to measure cultural fit. We'll now discuss getting hiring managers on board. numerous tips exist to help employers hire for cultural fit. However, none of them will be effective if hiring managers don't fully understand how to properly judge a candidate. Many hiring managers believe cultural fit is synonymous with hiring people who are like them. In other words, they often ask questions about hobbies and interests, choosing people they personally like and get along with, rather than people who actually are best for the organization. Their argument for doing so generally runs along the line of similar people work best together. While the argument may hold in some cases, greater team diversity generally leads to improved creativity and higher performance. As the New York Times writer Lauren A. Rivera says, too much similarity can lead to teams that are overconfident, ignore vital information, and make poor or even unethical decisions. To ensure that hiring managers are evaluating candidates on cultural fit rather than personal biases, company leaders and human resource managers should develop a list of values, traits, and behaviors that predict employees' success and then create checklists and other objective ways to measure candidates. In addition, assigning a weight to each of the items on the checklist will ensure greater impartiality. So how do you hire for a cultural fit? Sean Storen, CEO of the recruiting website One Degree, says good hiring has three prongs. Number one, what a candidate knows. This includes the prospect's skills and knowledge of the tools and technology to get the job done. Number two, how the candidate lives. What are the candidate's personal values, and how do they align with your company's values? And number three, what the candidate wants. In what type of environment does the candidate excel? Storen argues that this is the most important piece and where hiring managers should put focus. The best insight into assessing a candidate for cultural fit is, of course, the interview. Experts agree that behavior-based, open-ended questions lead hiring managers to the information they need. Behavior-based questions give interviewers an idea of how a candidate handled a situation in the past, which gives an indication of how the candidate may respond in the future. Questions like, tell me more about a time you needed to be flexible, or give an example of a time you had to build rapport with a person in a stressful situation. These questions get at the soft skills needed to do any job. Interviewers should listen to the answers carefully to determine whether the candidate's responses mesh with the company's culture. Here are examples of other questions that get at cultural fit. What type of culture do you thrive in? Describe your ideal workplace. Why do you want to work here? Describe what you know about our culture. What is it about our culture that attracts you to this position? What best practices would you bring with you from your other organizations? Do you think you could successfully implement them here? And tell me about a time when you felt you were not a good cultural fit in an organization. Describe the circumstances that made you feel that way. If your culture is creative or requires people to think through problems in a certain way, you may also consider asking a type of problem-solving question or two in which the actual answer is unimportant, but may be impossible to know without some assistance. Asking how much time it would take to ride a tricycle between two cities, or how many golf balls it would take to fill a school bus, gets at a candidate's creativity and thought process. As candidates work through these brain twisters, note their problem-solving skills and any innovative ways they work through the problem. The answers to these questions should pull back the curtain on a candidate's work ethic and work style, and whether that style matches your environment and team dynamics. You should look for correlations between the candidate and current or previous employees. If a candidate reminds you of another employee, think about how that past or present employee performs or performed in your environment. Similarities to a problematic employee don't automatically mean that the candidate is not worth hiring, but it should raise a red flag. Branching out beyond a manager-candidate interview is also crucial to determine cultural fit. Team interviews or one-on-one interviews with multiple people provide various points of view on a candidate's potential success. Consider taking the candidate on a tour of your organization. You may even want to invite him or her to a team meeting or lunch. All of these scenarios may give insight on a candidate's comfort level with the team, as well as the team's first impression of a potential new coworker. Next, we'll discuss reflecting your culture in your company handbook. For most organizations, the company handbook says very little about culture. In fact, these handbooks go on the defensive, providing a list of rules, per se, to ensure employees act, dress, and speak appropriately. That's not to say that rules and codes of conduct are not important, but a company handbook can and should go beyond that. Nathan Christensen, CEO of the human resources consulting company HR AnswerLink, argues that the handbook should be written so that employees want to read it, not just be forced to read it. He says, "The handbook is, after all, often the first document a new hire receives, sometimes the only document all employees are required to read and acknowledge, and a document that gets reviewed, revised, and recirculated every year. Seize the opportunity." So throw out the handbook template and create a guide that's completely your company's own. Christensen has 5 tips to get you started. Number 1, don't call it a handbook. Employees will equate a boring title with information not worth reading. The title doesn't have to be overly creative. Christensen suggests team guide or how-to book as better options. Number 2, state your mission and values on the first page. This not only engages your employees, but will help you structure the rest of the handbook around the mission and values. Number 3, personalize your policies. Explain your reasons for having each of the policies and do it in the voice of your company. Number 4, give a shout out to your perks and do it early in the document. Tell employees what to expect and how you will invest in them. And number 5, be creative in its presentation. Don't just send a PDF copy by email. Make it attractive and find ways to ensure people read it, maybe with a fun quiz. An even more creative way to communicate your company culture is to develop a handbook on just that, your culture. Culture handbooks may be incorporated into or stand alongside a traditional handbook. And when done right, they not only serve as an essential source of information for employees, they can serve as a recruitment tool. Andy Parker, co-founder of London's Zillify, a company that helps others attract talent, describes the Ultimate Culture Handbook in this way. It's a guide to a company's DNA. It tells everything about how a company behaves. It's for more than just internal use. It's also a recruiting tool. And it creates unity among staff members. Some companies point back to their culture handbooks as one of the defining reasons for success. Parker uses Buffer, a social media sharing app, as one of those examples. Surf around Buffer's website, and you'll see total transparency about the company's work life, from its lack of hierarchies and formal managers, to how it calculates salaries, including posting actual salaries of all staff members. This formula appears to work. Buffer received 2,886 job applications in 1 month alone during 2013. If you're considering a culture handbook, several companies have made theirs available online. We'll discuss some of them next. First, EF Education. Fast Company magazine posted EF Education's culture handbook on its website and held it up as an example of one you'll actually want to read. The company that provides guided world tours uses its core competency, education, as a hook, creating a culture handbook that reads like a children's story. Next is HubSpot. The inbound marketing company decided to share its culture handbook online because, like Buffer, the company values transparency. The company calls its 128-page slide deck part culture handbook and part manifesto. The slides, short on copy and long on poignancy, explain company values and expected employee actions without discussing policies and procedures, of which it has very few, if any. The slide deck has been popular, to say the least. It's logged more than 1.3 million views so far. And then there's Discuss. The blog comment hosting service separated its official legal handbook from its culture handbook. NASDAQ lists the culture handbook as one worthy of noting. Besides company information and values, the handbook is heavy on action photos of employees at work and at play. One of the final slides welcomes new employees and invites others to apply. And last, but not least, Zappos. The online shoe retailer is most often hailed as a company that gets cultural fit right. It's famous for offering brand new recruits a monetary bonus to leave, believing that those employees who take the offer weren't committed to the company in the first place. They would rather pay the fee early than pay recruitment costs later. Zappos also makes its culture handbook available for online viewing or download. Like EF Education, its handbook reads like a storybook, but its design is reminiscent of Alice in Wonderland. Its 297 pages primarily are filled with employee photos and insights into what the culture means to them. What can you take from these examples? It may be that the time it takes to create a well-designed storybook-like handbook isn't worth the effort if you own or manage a small firm that recruits new talent sporadically. But if you are trying to recruit top talent and believe your company has a culture worth working within, let these and other examples inspire you. Don't be bashful about what makes your company great. Allow team members to speak on your behalf and get your new culture handbook out to the masses. Your recruitment budget will be glad you did. And just as your handbook should be more than a litany of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs, your onboarding should be more than just an orientation session, or worse yet, no session at all. New employees are fragile. Their decision to remain with your company for the long haul is made within the first 6 months. In a survey of new hires who had quit within the first 6 months, about one-third said that they had very little or no onboarding, and 15% said the lack of onboarding contributed to their desire to leave the company. This time of uncertainty for new hires is no time for dull, boring orientation sessions full of compliance issues. The focus, instead, should be on reaffirming employees' decision to take the job. Treat onboarding more as a team-building exercise, and employees will be more likely to feel like they made the right decision. In addition to team-building, Megan M. Biro, who writes about HR issues, suggests making the session personal. Get to know employees beyond what you learned in the interview. Finally, new employees are attracted to your company for a reason. If you portray your culture in your recruitment materials, let that culture show through in your onboarding process. Most experts also agree that once and done is not a good onboarding strategy. The Society for Human Resource Management says onboarding starts before the employee's first day and continues through the first year. Here is a timeline and suggested onboarding activities. Before they begin, engage and inform new employees prior to the first day. Fun notes, welcome messages, and photos help introduce managers and teammates. Help them complete paperwork in advance and send your handbook, department information, and job responsibilities to review. Make sure the employee's desk, phone, computer, and passwords are ready. Day 1. Two goals for day 1 should be setting expectations and fostering social interaction. Employees should leave that day knowing their job and their coworkers. Month 1. Consider having a buddy system or mentor who the employee can tap with questions. Manage on-the-job training so that it's a balance between being productive without being overwhelmed. Managers and HR should do a 1-month check-in to ensure the employee is happy and engaged. Months 3 to 6. This is the point where many companies abandon onboarding. Yet it's also the time 90% of employees are deciding whether or not to stay with the company. Continue to check in to show you care. And year 1. By now, employees should have a solid grasp on their job and daily tasks. This is the time to show them what their future looks like as onboarding morphs into continuous development. Companies that successfully onboard new team members show great returns. 66% claim a higher rate of employees understanding the company culture. 62% say productivity increased. And 54% report higher employee engagement. As you can see, your company culture is closely intertwined with lower recruitment costs and higher employee productivity and engagement. No matter your industry, the opportunity is ripe for creatively telling your story to capture the attention of the best employees and keep them.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on company culture. Make sure you keep a lookout for our next podcast, Artificial Intelligence, A New Machine Age. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to listen to others, please visit our website at 4imprint.com/bluepapers.